chaos on the fifth day of protests at UNC, with WREL's cameras caught in the middle. A live look at where the crowds stand right now. Then a community mourning four officers killed in a shootout while trying to serve an arrest warrant in Charlotte. What we've uncovered about the suspect's criminal history. Plus, an inside look at the process to keep officers safe during these dangerous operations.
This low-moving cold front could bring some of us showers and storms tonight. We'll time out our chances for rain tonight, tomorrow, and how wet our weekend could get.
And the Canes' quest for the Cup continues on home ice tonight.
But right now at 7 o'clock, classes are canceled at UNC. Tensions escalating between pro-Palestinian protesters and police. These chaotic scenes that we saw play out in the last few hours there on campus after an American flag was lowered and replaced with a Palestinian flag on the quad. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rope. This clash comes as protesters have been demonstrating for 5 days now, even after university police took more than 30 people into custody earlier today for not dispersing. WREL's Julian Grace joining us now live on campus. Julian, it looks like the barriers are back up. A lot of people still there.
Yeah, Ashley, let me tell you this. Things have calmed down dramatically in the last couple of hours or so. There are still a couple of protesters here and there. But I want to show you this. These barriers were put up just about 20 minutes ago. Now, the barriers are up to protect the American flag here on campus in the area called the Quad, also known as Polk Place. And as the flag went up, you could hear the chants. So the question out there, why so much attention to this flagpole? Well, earlier tonight, we should say the pro-Palestinian protesters took down the flag and replaced it with the Palestinian flag. Then interim UNC Chancellor Lee Roberts hoisted the American flag only for it to be taken down again by protesters. Then the American flag was then replaced and back up, and you could hear the chants and a number of people celebrating. Now, there was a man who stood by this flag. He held it all afternoon as crews tried to attach it back to the pole. He would not allow that flag to touch the ground. We asked to talk to him. He said he didn't want to talk. He said it wasn't about him. That said, WREL's Destiny Patterson, she was out here earlier today when the big clash happened between police and protesters.
For the second time today, police officers clashed with pro-Palestine protesters. Protesters' efforts to put up barricades were not successful, with at least one person thrown to the ground as police barreled through the crowd. Officers across the UNC system, led by interim Chancellor Lee Roberts, headed straight to the center of what's called Polk Place. That's where protesters had taken down the American flag and replaced it with a Palestinian one. As we got up close, protesters tried blocking our view, making noise and covering our camera lens with signs. Students supporting Israel held their own flag high, cheering after police and Roberts put the U.S. flag back up.
That flag will stand here as long as I'm chancellor.
At one point, an officer slapped an amplifier out of a protester's megaphone. As officers retreated, they used pepper spray to keep the crowd back. Trevor Land says anti-Semitism has risen on campus.
It is disappointing as a student here to feel uncomfortable on my own campus.
In the same spot where tensions boiled over this afternoon is where people camped out for days. Law enforcement came in just before dawn to remove those tents. On day five of a tent encampment, officers cited 27 people for trespassing. About half of them were students. Six others were taken to the Orange County Detention Center for trespassing charges. Three of them were students. All others were not affiliated with the university.
I think it was vastly blown out of proportion. They were simply protesting.
All this because this group is calling on the university to, quote, disclose and divest its funding for Israel.
Coming back out here live, once again, you can see the American flag here in the quad, also known as Polk Place. Now, if you look around, you will see there's really not a large crowd out here. I can also tell you that there are a number of police officers around some of the buildings here. They're just staging. They're talking, not in riot gear, just casually talking and walking about. This is what we're going to do tonight at 10 and 11. We're going to stay out here and we'll have all new information for you today about why some people have decided not to leave this area. We'll have that for you all new tonight at 10 and 11.
All right, Julian, thank you. Live at UNC.
Taking a live look now at the North Carolina Legislative Building right there in downtown Raleigh, one of the many state buildings where, as you can see, the flags are flying at half staff tonight to honor the four officers shot and killed in the line of duty in Charlotte. The fallen officers seen behind me here, they were actively trying to serve a warrant when it all went down. They're being remembered as heroes because of it, while four other officers recover from injuries in this shooting. In the last 20 minutes, one of them was identified as a Statesville officer. WRL's Monica Casey is live near that Charlotte home where it all unfolded. Monica, police were immediately met with gunfire as they responded to this call.
Yeah, Dan, that's right. And it's still a staggering sight we're seeing here tonight. We haven't seen any cleanup of the debris from this house. A door lying here on the ground. The front of the house completely torn off. We know a CMPD sergeant is a member of that Marshall's task force. He called for help when the shooting started. Those four CMPD officers who were shot were trying to save others.
Down. I'm just thinking like it looked like a tractor and tore down, you know.
This ruined house is barely standing, a stark reminder of what happened in this East Charlotte neighborhood. Neighbors heard sounds like this for hours.
Just heard some banging, right? Banging. I thought some people was working on the house, like beating on the house with a hammer. I kept hearing banging.
You can tell, like, there were shots fired. There's a bullet that penetrated right here.
Police say more than 100 casings have been recovered. Chief Johnny Jennings was emotional when asked about the fallen officers.
It's just been very tough. And knowing that you have families that are hurting right now, we'll get through it, though.
The suspect who was killed has been identified as Terry Clark Hughes Jr. Hughes was convicted of felony breaking and entering in Person County in 2009. He was convicted again in 2012 in Alamance County for possession of a firearm by a felon. He also had a pending case in Person County for possession of a firearm by a felon and marijuana possession. An order for his arrest was issued in February of 2023 after he failed to appear in court. Now, this U-Haul has been in the driveway for a couple of hours. We've seen people coming and going with boxes from inside the house. Police say an AR-15 and a 40 caliber handgun were also recovered here. They are still working to learn where those were purchased. Dan?
Monica Casey live in Charlotte for us tonight. Monica, thank you.
This shooting highlights just how dangerous serving a warrant can be. Officers, you know, serve hundreds a day all across the U.S. Tonight, WRL's Chelsea Donovan continues our team coverage after speaking with a local sheriff about the dangers and risks.
In 2011, Sneak Lewis, a Nash County deputy, also with the U.S. Marshals Service, lost his life while serving an outstanding warrant for murder. The suspect in that case opened fire, killing him. Flags fly at half staff here in Nash County to honor the lives of law enforcement officers killed in East Charlotte on Monday.
These men and women go to work every day and never know if they're going to touch the doorknob to come back home.
Nash County Sheriff Keith Stone said what happened to his deputy, Sneak Lewis, is strikingly similar to what happened in Charlotte.
This will be an event that will stick in people's mind for years to come.
Serving search or arrest warrants is incredibly dangerous and unpredictable.
It's a very delicate situation because obviously you're going into harm's way and you don't know what's behind the door.
Last year, we went along with undercover drug agents with the Nash County Sheriff's Office as they served these types of warrants on drug offenders.
Law enforcement's not the only one planning. These people plan also for refuting the search warrants.
Sheriff Stone says most times his deputies have to serve warrants within 48 hours, so planning must be quick but incredibly precise, safety as the top priority.
Who is with the person that you're searching? What's the premises? What are the dangers? What are we looking for? And what is the safety precautions for other people living in the community.
The suspect in the Charlotte shootout, 39-year-old Terry Clark Jr., was set to be arrested for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. He was shot and killed by Charlotte police. Chelsea Donovan, WRL News, Nash County.
We will continue staying on top of any new developments in this shooting story. Look for updates during our late news at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
New tonight, increased taxi prices and fees will go into effect starting tomorrow in the city of Raleigh. Officials have announced the fee to start a ride has increased from $1.95 to $3, so more than a buck. The per mile rate is also now $3, up from $2.50. And the permanent wait time is a fee of 30 cents, up from 25 cents. Rideshare companies such as Uber and Lyft will not be affected.
In about 20 minutes, the Canes are hoping to close out the Islanders on home ice and move on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They are sure to cause chaos tonight inside the loudest house in the league after taking their first loss in this series on the road. WRL's Aaron Thomas is live at PNC Arena as the Caniacs pack the place before puck drop. Aaron.
You got it, Ashley. In fact, you ask any of these fans that you see out here, they'll tell you that tonight's game really seals the deal on if the Canes will advance to round two in this series. We can actually show you now the moment that we caught many of these Caniacs flooding into PNC Arena the moment that the doors open up. Now, this fan base are called the loudest house in the NHL for a reason. We spoke with the fan who says that he's hoping that the loud fan reaction along with a better performance from the team will lead them to victory.
Four mediocre games, and I think we have the Canes have a lot more to give. I think playing their style, fast paced, forecheck, I think they should be able to pull it out today.
And you actually might have just heard a cheer while ago. Of course, the momentum is building. You can see many of the fans getting their last-minute drinks and food before they head to their seats. We want to bring in our wonderful meteorologist, Kat Campbell. The weather was perfect. Obviously, we saw a lot of tailgating, but it looks like that might be short-lived.
Yeah, late tonight as people are leaving, they could run into some rain. But isn't it interesting? We've got ice hockey in here, but 85 outside today. We've got a cold front on the way, though, so I want to show you a closer look at that. It's approaching tonight, but it is weakening significantly as it gets closer to us. But late tonight is when we've got a 40% chance of some showers and storms. So the game ending 10, 11 o'clock, hopefully as folks are headed out to celebrate, about a 30 to 40% chance of a storm as you leave the game, a 40% chance of storms through 3 a.m., and we should see that activity gradually die down overnight into early tomorrow morning. Coming up, I'll have a closer look at what you can expect on Futurecast, and we'll show you more live looks in PNC as everybody gears up for the big game tonight. Ashley and Dan.
Sure love that energy. Thanks.
The fans are behaving, too,
yes,
in the live
exactly.
Shots. I like it. Thank you, Kat. Still ahead, Wake County teachers and bus drivers hoping relief is on the way. The new budget options on the table next. Plus, were some lawmakers drunk and out of control on a recent trip to Kentucky? A conservative political group says no complaints are overblown, but others have a different story. Details coming up.
Welcome back. I'm Lena Tillett in the WRAL Live Center following a number of developments out of Charlotte this evening, beginning with this vigil underway right now for the four officers who were killed in Charlotte in that shooting yesterday and four other officers who were hurt. This is a Facebook live feed here, Little Rock AME Zion Church, a very moving service underway here as a number of ministers from various faiths are praying for those officers to recover and, of course, praying for the families who have now lost loved ones. We are also hearing about services now beginning to come out, information about services beginning with Officer Joshua Iyer here. His service will begin at 10 o'clock at First Baptist Church on Friday. That is in Uptown Charlotte. You can imagine there will be a lot of people attending this service. It's going to begin at 9:30 with a procession that's going to travel from CMPD headquarters and then go to that church by 10 o'clock. So I imagine that will be a very moving scene. Another moving scene happening in our nation's capital, the North Carolina congressional delegation holding a moment of silence. Representative Jeff Jackson posting about this moment of silence comments here saying he did this in honor of Alma Adams as well, who is currently in Charlotte with her constituents who are obviously grieving. But again, this happened on the House floor here. You see them holding this moment of silence in honor of those officers. Support coming from across the country for these officers and for this entire community. Back to you.
I'm Willie Danley in the WRL Breaking News Tracker. I'm standing here on Peach Road in Raleigh. You can see these police vehicles lining this street right here, and that's due to a shooting that happened at Peach Road Park right there. I'm being told by Raleigh police that one person was shot in the leg. They do believe that his injuries are non-life threatening. He's since been taken to a hospital. I actually just spoke to a young man who lives in this neighborhood, and he tells me that he goes to the same school as the person that was shot, so he was very concerned about his condition. We're reaching out to Raleigh police to find out more information on this shooting and how exactly those events unfolded. We're going to keep you updated with what we find out. Back to you.
Okay, Willie, please do. You know, after rallies this morning calling for changes in pay, teachers and bus drivers in Wake County have hope on the horizon. During a special session today, the school board recommended on a budget option that will increase annual pay a few $100s or more for teachers, hourly employees, and bus drivers. It's nearly $5 million over the superintendent's original budget. Right, so ultimately, everybody, it'll be up to the county commissioners to decide whether or not to approve this recommendation. The school board will vote to approve the budget proposal next Tuesday before county commissioners take up the proposal in early June.
A conservative political group says complaints about state lawmakers' behavior during a bourbon tour in Kentucky last weekend are overblown. The group Greater Carolina said they sponsored the trip to Louisville. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie has their side of the story.
We first told you last night about a social media post accusing North Carolina lawmakers of drunk and disorderly conduct at a bourbon distillery near Louisville last week. Well, the group that organized the trip says those complaints are exaggerated.
A spokesman for conservative political nonprofit Greater Carolina said the bourbon tasting tour was a fundraising event. Donors paid for tickets to get access to state lawmakers who also made the trip. According to a poster on Reddit who says they work at one of the distilleries they visited, many in that group were already intoxicated when they arrived on a tour bus for their private event. The poster said they wanted North Carolinians to know how their elected leaders had behaved. Despite being extremely rude, disruptive, not tipping the bartender and tour guides, and even vomiting in our bathroom sinks, not a single apology was offered, the poster said. In a statement, Greater Carolina spokesman Jonathan Felt said one person was sick at the event because the air conditioning on the tour bus was not working. He said members of the group helped to clean it up. He didn't confirm or deny the group's level of intoxication. Felt said no taxpayer money was spent on the trip. It was all private donations. He also called the original poster a social media troll and said they have no credibility.
I contacted that original poster this afternoon for comment. They denied Feltz's version of the story. In the meantime, I've been calling lawmakers and lobbyists who the poster says were present at the event. None of them so far have responded. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
It is a big night in Raleigh. The Carolina Hurricanes looking to move on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Meteorologist Kat Campbell is live in PNC Arena. Kat, you're having a whole lot of fun today. A nice night for fans to cheer on the Canes as they take on the Islanders game five.
We're excited. This is my favorite kind of hurricane. And I've got to say, it was beautiful outside, but everybody's coming on in. They are getting ready. The fans are here. They're in their seats, and they are ready to cheer on the Canes tonight, hoping for a big win. So I want to show you a closer look at the forecast for tonight. It was about 80 degrees as folks are walking in still. A few stragglers left that are coming on along. By the time you are leaving, temperatures are going to be around 73. There is a chance of an isolated storm. I think that chance may end up being even higher in our southern counties. But all still looks well on the dual Doppler 5000 radar in our viewing area. Nothing imminent. We'll keep an eye on it for you. Here comes the cold front, though. It's weakening, but that's why we do have the potential for an isolated shower, perhaps a rumble of thunder later on tonight. If we look at futurecast and the timing of that potential, through about 9 o'clock, things are pretty quiet, just a few showers in our southern counties. And then it's late tonight after midnight that we have a better chance of a few of these pop-up hit-or-miss storms developing, and those should really clear out early tomorrow morning. So I wouldn't expect that to be an issue for the morning commute. Summer-like warmth is building in, though. High temperatures are in the mid to upper 80s for the next 3 days. 88 Thursday, 89 on Friday, and that is not the only 89-degree day that we have in the forecast. We've got more on the way as we look ahead to next week. The weekend is when we have the best chance for rain over the next 7 days, and that's when we also have the coolest temperatures because of that. Back out here live at PNC, everybody is heading in. We got a friend over here. I like your pom-pom. You ready to go tonight?
I'm ready to go.
Campbell, we
Carolina Hurricanes. Woo, go Canes.
We're ready.
Woo, we are ready to finish it tonight. Woo! With Cat Campbell, of course. Woo!
Yes. It was nice to meet you guys. Okay. We'll be right back with more news after this.
A small business week is well underway here in Raleigh.
Nice. It started Monday. It goes through May 4th. If you own or run a small business, there are free opportunities being held online to grow and elevate your business. The educational virtual summit is happening through May 1st. It includes business workshops, networking opportunities, federal resource information, and expert speakers. You can find more information online at RaleighNC.gov. All right, check out the new mural here on a basketball court in Chapel Hill.
Can you imagine playing pickup on this? It's so cool. This is at Umstead Park off Umstead Drive. Piece is called Destiny. Renzo Ortega painted the piece. He's an artist out of Carrboro. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's get another live look inside PNC Arena. Right now, we are just minutes away from puck drop, the Canes and Islanders, Game 5. Let's go, Canes.
I wish I was there. How fun does this look? The Carolina Hurricanes looking to close the Stanley Cup playoffs round one out right now. With a win tonight, they win, and it's on to round two. We'll have live team coverage, win or lose, hopefully win, on our late news at 10 o'clock on Fox 50. And at 11 o'clock on WRAL, go Canes.
Oh, it's going to be so loud in there.
Oh, yeah, as it should be.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.